All right, this men's team showed a lot of firepower over the weekend down in Athens as they won 2 out of 3 against the University of Georgia. They've won 9 of 10 overall. Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin joins us on the Ferguson Heating and Cooling Hotline. Tim, how are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
You got to like the way we're doing well, and you got to like the way the bats really were out on display down in Athens this weekend, especially on Sunday. Some great offense out of your club.
Yeah, that was good, especially after Saturday where we got bageled. But, you know, we came back pretty strong the next day and put it to them. I just think Saturday was more of an aberration than anything else. We just didn't get off to a good start. We never played well throughout the whole game. And kids probably deserve a trump card, you know, as consistent as they've played all year. So we hit the ball well. But hitting comes and goes. But pitching and defense have to be there every day. And we did that pretty well, too.
Your team has won 9 out of 10 since the back-to-back losses against Lipscomb and Middle Tennessee. Did those games, you know, for what it's worth, kind of get your team's attention?
Maybe. You know, maybe that was, you know, I don't know, I'd say turning point, but it was one of those things that just kind of got us in a situation that we hadn't been in all year. And we got back from that Middle Tennessee State game. No one felt good about where they were, but we had Tennessee that weekend, so I remember going out to practice on Thursday, and the kids were, you know, practicing hard. They were jovial, like nothing ever happened. And I said, you know, I don't want to disrupt this. Things are going well. We'll bounce back. And we did. And I think that's just the makings of good leadership and a good team. And the way they came back, swept that series, and just kind of put a stamp of approval on, okay, this is our team. If we fall down once or twice, then we're just going to get back up and take care of business.
Tim, I want to ask you about the article in the Sporting News about David Price. And I thought it was a fair piece. You know, I think that they started out, you know, maybe openly questioning about the way you handled David. But more so than anything else, they got your side of it, and I thought they sort of fairly portrayed it. But the crux of the article, for those who don't know, was they listed his top 5 or 6 pitch counts, which were above 120, I guess between 120 and 135. And I guess the scouting director or one of the people in the scouting department for the Kansas City Royals said that might be a red flag for some teams who think he might be overworked. But you had a pretty good response to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned about that. I mean, you know, as far as what a scouting director wants to do, they got to make a decision based on, you know, what they're getting. But I've been through this conversation enough, and I think pitch counts are all the rage right now, especially with parents who got a piece of paper and a pencil and charting everything their kid is doing. It makes me sick. But I think with Price, he's one of those kids that starts every 6 day. He's got an impeccable routine between outings. He's big. He doesn't throw a lot of breaking balls. There's a myriad of reasons why he can do this, and maybe a kid that's not as durable can. And, you know, we've been very good with our arms here at Vanderbilt. I mean, and I knock on wood, we've never had an arm injury. And I've never pitched someone on 3 days rest. And, you know, we had a chance to do that twice in a row when we were trying to play an SEC championship, but I chose not to, and the other teams did. And we've always taken really good care of our pitchers' arms. There's more sides, you know, more issues with this. But I think in David's case, he's prepped for this. And I think what they're going to see, and I talked to one scouting director the other day who I won't name, but he basically told me that when a kid goes out and pitches like that during the course of the year, he kind of shapes up to be a true number one guy in the big leagues, like a Clemens or like a Randy Johnson or like a Schilling, because he says at some point of that kid's career, you've got to question whether or not he's durable enough to withstand those things. And you know, you look at David, and he still has that type of body that's still going to grow. I mean, his dad's a big man, and his brothers are big kids, and he's just going to continue to grow and get stronger. But I don't really worry about that as much as, you know, some may.
Tim, we have spoken about this before, that you understand that to a large degree, you owe it to him not only to nurture his talent, but to protect him a little bit, understanding that he's got a chance to make a lot of money, you know, in the professional game. And obviously you and your pitching coach, Derek Johnson, who's one of the best in the business, have a pretty good track record of that. So I thought it was interesting when they wrote questioning that, had they looked back at the history of your program, you know, even going back to when you were at Clemson, they would see what you guys have done and how you've developed your pitchers. And I would imagine that's one of the selling points when you're out recruiting that record specifically.
I think so. And even going back to Clemson, we didn't have arm injuries either. And I just got to go back to experience and what I know and how to treat kids individually, but also take care of the team in the same way. And I don't really, you know, it doesn't really matter to me what other people do. And in terms of, you know, the scouting world, that's great. I mean, they should take care of their own business and not worry so much about this. But the right team is going to see him, and they're going to understand that, and it's probably going to be Tampa Bay, but they're going to understand, okay, this kid's a big, durable kid. Now, like a lot of number one picks that go off and play professional ball, they may understand, okay, this guy's had a long college season, so we're not going to take him right up until the end of the year and pitch him out. They're probably going to take a guy like David and nurture him a little bit too, and not give him the amount of outings, because they know, especially if we go far in this deal, that he's pitched a lot of important innings for us.
Tim, I want to ask you on the lines of that with protecting pitchers, and you know a lot has been made of these travel teams and these kids and throwing junk at age 8, 9, 10, getting Tommy John surgery, so young. And these coaches and just really putting the hammer to these guys and how many pitches they throw. As far as you go, and what's your advice for pitchers or young kids out there so when they should start to throw some breaking stuff? And how does that affect your recruiting? Because if a kid comes up in a program where he doesn't throw junk until maybe his junior year, does that affect the way you recruit? Because this guy just doesn't have the pitches that you might think he needs to play at your program.
That's a good question. I think the golden rule that most parents could live by is when my son starts shaving, that's when he could start throwing a breaking ball, because that's when the body is developed enough to maybe be able to spin. I think at a young age, Frank, like, you look at the Little League World Series now, and it's not like the Little League World Series 10 years ago. It's everyone is spinning breaking balls. It's a win-at-all-cost type deal, and, you know, I can see that to some extent, but those kids are spinning a lot of balls, maybe 3 out of every 5 pitches. And I think as far as recruiting is concerned, you want to see a kid who's got good tumble on his breaking ball. So you have to see that in order to recruit him, because a curveball is very difficult to teach. In my mind, it's either the kid has it or not. And, you know, I went out, saw a kid last night. He's a big kid. He's got a good fastball. He's got a very good breaking ball as well. But he threw the breaking ball maybe 2 times out of every 10 pitches. And him being big and durable and not spinning the ball a whole lot, that probably be a wise decision maybe to go after that kid who throws with good velo. He's 88, 91 with a good break in the ball, rather than a kid who maybe 5'10", 5'11", who's spinning a lot of balls and then, you know, not able to throw the fastball. What happens, too, with kids is if they spin a lot of breaking balls, they lose the development of their fastball. And I think in some college programs, you'll see kids or programs that do live by the theory that they're going to throw a lot of breaking balls. And what happens is certain kids go down in their development with a fastball, and that kid does not become the pro prospect that maybe people thought he did. I'm not being precocious in any way, but Casey Weathers in our program's gone from 90 miles an hour to 98-99. David Price has gone from 90-91 to 95-96. I mean, we work on arm strength first and core development and arm care, and then from there, you know, we work with their secondary pitches.
Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt head baseball coach, our guest. One of the hot topics around baseball has been Roger Clemens' return to the Yankees and the whole situation of him not having to travel with the team if he doesn't want to, and, you know, that little agreement they've worked out and everybody's reaction. As a coach, what do you think about that whole deal?
Well, I don't know. There's two sides to it. I'm a Roger Clemens fan. He left the Red Sox and so on, I've always been an admirer of him because of the longevity and, you know, he's my age, for crying out loud. I have a hard enough time getting out of bed, and I'm a non-athlete. So this guy, he's busting it every day to stay in shape, and he gets himself ready to pitch. I don't, you know, the part where teams are giving him the concession to, you know, try or pitch when he can and then be with his family, there's something that's admirable about that, because he's got a son right now. He's visiting in Lexington, Kentucky, that he's watching play a little bit, and I see that as a good thing. But I think he's better in the game than he is not being in the game, because I think people want to see him, and he's at least in my lifetime, he's the greatest pitcher that's ever pitched. So I think the more he's in the game, the better for all involved.
You satisfied your team's ready as you head into the final week of regular season play and look forward to the tournament?
Yeah, we're pro baseball players now. We dropped those books. We're done. So we're just kind of on baseball, and we're getting in the weight room all the time, and they're eating a lot. And, you know, the only thing is free time. I talked to the kids about that. I said, now use your free time wisely. You got more time now, and it's the only thing I worry about teenagers because, you know, they get more accomplished, and we always do better academically in the spring when they've got timelines and guidelines, and when they don't, they – flood around a little bit, but I think we're going to be fine. The kids are hungry right now. We want to win this thing outright, and they know that there's a lot more ball to be played if we just continue the pace that we've been playing.
Series still left against Auburn and against LSU. Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, thanks for the time, and best of luck as you head into the final couple weekends of the regular season.
I appreciate you having me, guys. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you later.